Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. We have a lovely guest joining us. Barbara Banner is here. She is a psychic and evidential trance medium who brings through messages with stunning accuracy, with humor, and with hope. With a deep connection to spirit and humorous guides, she brings her unique way of delivering evidence, validation, and ways to lighten grief. Welcome to the show, Barbara.
It is a pleasure to be sitting here with you today.
I would love to start at when you recognize you had this connection to spirit.
Let's just say that it's my experience was like the movies Paranormal, Freaky Friday, and Alice in Wonderland all together. My house had a paranormal storm going on with lights flashing, fans going, orbs flying, things coming off the shelf. And I said, okay, spirit is trying to get in touch with me, so I'm going to have to answer. Literally, I feel like I was in the deep freezer for my life, and then during the pandemic, it said, "Okay, time to activate her now." I took my first class in mediumship, and I hit the ground running.
What did you think was happening in your house? Like, did you believe in the supernatural prior to
I
this?
did. I did. I remember. I thought when I was a little younger, I said, like maybe in my early teens, like, I think I'm a witch. I just felt I was a little psychic and I really didn't know what else to say about it. And then nothing other than, I was pretty good on Oscar night when we had to fill out who was going to win. Other than that, nothing. Looking back, I do see that all of the 35 years of volunteering projects that I did were divinely guided from to help me be a medium, from being on a crisis response team for the city where I go out and there's a dead body on the scene and the family's there and I had to support the family. Those kind of things, I realize I couldn't have, I didn't even know they existed, but all of a sudden I'm signing up for, 14 years on a women's crisis hotline. I didn't know that I would need all this information to be a good medium and to help people heal.
So before you took this mediumship class, like you said, you were working on a women's crisis hotline, and with all your volunteer and all your other experience, like, did you ever have any strange connections to people who have passed at all?
No, not that
Interesting.
I was. As I said, I was like a bear in hibernation. Go in the cave. We'll call you when we need you. Okay. I had no idea. I did find out later, though, that my grandmother had some juju, and some other people who were reading, doing trance for me. They said, "You've been doing this for like, a couple of centuries, so this is not new, and that's why you're doing it now. They just brought you back." The world is waking up. We need more help.
So with all this paranormal activity in your house during the pandemic, and then you're taking this mediumship class, I'm curious, like, what was that experience like? Because there are people who are listening who are fearful. They feel like, oh, if I'm opening the door, I'm opening the door to the dark side. It's kind of like this huge misconception. So I'm curious about your entrance into mediumship.
Well, it was like opening the door into the light, not the darkness. I mean, I haven't had any really evil people coming, and it's really all for the benefit of everybody to help them heal when they've lost a loved one, and it has been nothing less than that. When I opened the door, the first thing, the first night, I just I pra I. I practiced in a class. First of all, I never even meditated before I took this class, okay? I was a rookie from the get-go. And I thought, this feels really good. And then, the next class, we were going to go home and practice. I locked myself in a closet. I didn't really want my husband to know what was going on at the time. And I got into the zone and I saw my father on the other side peeking over a little wall, like, oh, she's going to do it. She's doing it. So that was my first foray into it. Like, my father, go on, come on.
Yeah. So what did you believe early on in your life about the afterlife?
I was always fascinated. I remember that even in my early teens, there was a TV medium, Sylvia Brown, one
Oh,
of the
yeah.
older ones. Okay. And I would be watching her. I'd watch her stuff and other paranormal class, TV shows. I was fascinated. I was not afraid by it. I love spooky movies. And I just knew that I knew something was there. On my business phone, I would get a lot of calls and there'd be nobody on the line. And you were able to push a button and it would redial it. There is no such number. Please try again. So I was getting calls from nowhere. And I just had a feeling, just had a feeling.
Yeah. So, okay. Many people on the planet are afraid of what happens next. You know, when they pass, there's a lot of fear surrounding just because the general beliefs that circulate around the planet are pretty negative, very dark. What would you say to these people who are just terrified? They're scared of what's next?
What's next is the most beautiful, from what I hear and see, the most beautiful feelings of love. And it's all about love on the other side. And there's like three emotions you get. You get these feelings of love, gratitude, and these are all very high vibration feelings, and joy. Those are the three that you deal with. There's nobody's jealous of somebody else. There's no judgment for us down here or up. Everybody is in this universe for the same thing, to expand their soul, okay? And just keep growing and doing good for people. That's it. We're not here for mischief and negativity. And on the other side, that's why, if you don't have to believe me, you don't even know me, but go online on YouTube and go watch all of these NDE podcasts for people who have been there. There is nobody who's saying, I want to go back. I got a stack of bills I got to pay, and my teenage daughter is a biatch, and my husband's cheating on me. Please send me back, okay? No. Nobody wants to go back, and when they do have to, if they're there by, a sudden heart attack or something, gosh, they don't want to go. And you got to go back. You're not done with your lessons, Just you'll be back here. Don't worry. That's home. This isn't home.
Right. So how connected when when somebody passes, how connected or how close do they stay to the earth? You know, like if they want to check on their families or if they're not concerned about bills, but they just pass and it's a traumatic experience
Oh,
for them.
I always feel that they're always with us. When I do a reading, they're right there, and the other side is actually right here as well. We just say heaven. It's easier for people to understand it, but it's like tuning into a frequency. We can't see that frequency or hear it. You know what I'm saying? So they're really close, and I always say they're always there for you because their awareness is always there. They know what we're thinking, wh what we're saying, what we're doing. They know everything about us, the loved ones, and they're always around to help us what we have to ask. They can't come in and feng shui your living room. Just, you gotta ask them, okay? And then you might have a dream that night that your credenza was on the west wall instead of the east wall, and you could do it. And I'll tell you, they put that in your head.
So what about, okay, some people might ask this question. you have your spirit guides, which I'm going to ask you several questions about as well, but just in general, you have your spirit guides and then you have loved ones who have passed. From our understanding, your spirit guides can help you. You know, they're here to guide your life, support you, make sure you stay on path. But how much help can your family members who have passed, how much help can they give, or how much can they intervene as opposed to your spirit guides?
They can intervene a lot. I always say your intuition, in my opinion, our intuition most of the time is, grandpa saying, yeah, pick the yellow one, okay? That they are here to help us all the time and guide us. That's their job down here, our loved ones. That's what they want to do. And because they're, light beings, they can be in a million, not a million, they could be in, dozens of places at once because their awareness, it's not their energy that splits, it's their awareness. So they're always tuned in. And that's why in readings, it's so much fun when they tell you, to watch out for that corner of the carpet, you're gonna trip. And they'll say, oh my gosh, right before the session, I literally was tripping on the carpet, and I figured I'm going face first, and somehow I could right myself. That's what spirit can do, okay? And tell you about it after it happened because they were there. I mean, it's the things you learn in a reading are so, yes, some things sound like, oh yeah, she could say that for everyone when they're saying how proud they are of you. Well, you did just cure cancer, so they do have a right to be proud of you. But they just want to help us as much as they can, especially if they were if they had a very bad or negative role to play in our life. Like, we do choose roles to play. It's like a play, to help other members of our like family soul pod. Okay, if your sister needs to learn about helping other people or not having such a big ego, her brother, or I could just say, I'll do that part. I will be really nasty, okay? And she's going to have to be able to learn how to deal with people and not take it in so seriously, or whatever it is. We have so many lessons to learn in each lifetime, and to use up some of that karma, like get rid of some of the karma. So we're here for a reason, and that's why there's people who have really difficult roles to play, but they're pretty juicy. If you're going to be in a movie, you better be the bad guy, than the mealy-mouthed white toast guy that doesn't have much of a life. Okay, so I'd much rather, come in with guns blazing, and it's fun for them, and they're helping us, and we're helping them.
So at the time, someone, I'm time, putting quotes around time, somebody passes. Do they remember who they are, why they came here, what they're like immediately as soon as they pass? Do they remember everything?
That yes, once they are transitioned, they get their memory back. But when we get reborn for a next life, it just it we are erased, because as Dolores Cannon says, it's not a test if you know the answers or the questions. So we have to come down and start from scratch in the lessons that we are need to learn and the challenges we have to navigate.
Do you find that, because I guess this is just my personal belief, that this isn't the only place we go to for learning and growth? Do you
Oh, the
find
earth is the hardest place in the universe, okay? This is the hellhole of the universe. If you sign up for Earth, and believe it or not, there's a long line of people who say, send me down to Earth. I want to get done with all these lives earlier. The whole universe, different civilizations and aliens and everywhere you can go to work off karma and to learn lessons. And they're supposed to be much more of a party at these other planets than there are here. This is like the chain gang. So, but you get more gold stars for doing it here. So we understand why they want to come.
Do you happen to know, just based off of your work and interactions, how many times on average a spirit might want to come or has come to Earth in terms of lives, like past lives?
I can't give you that amount. I mean, everyone is different. Everyone has different lessons to learn. I f from books and other podcasts, it could be several hundred or it could be 60.
Right.
I it's it really is very dependent upon what your needs are and what you have to do.
Yes. And like you said, it's a tough place because we have roles to play and we have free will, which makes it even harder. I
I
think.
always say stick with the plan that you worked out with the masters and the council and your guides and everything else. They know more, okay? Once you start doing the free will stuff, things can get a little dicey.
Yes, it really can. So you are a psychic, evidential, and trance medium, correct?
Yes.
So can you walk me through those, and how did you know that th that's what you had?
Well, the first class was with Suzanne Geestman, who's just, brilliant and wonderful. And I align with her. There's obviously a reason that I picked her. I mean, she's all about joy and that's what I try to do. I try to bring laughter and joy into readings because that raises the vibration. And the higher the vibration, the easier it is for spirit to communicate and come through. If it's a low vibration, if I open the Zoom and they're like sitting there, like, oh boy, she's going to ask me what color pajamas she wore 3 days ago. Okay, it's not going to be a good reading. Okay, it's nice when everybody is open and just looking forward to it and not putting up a wall because it just makes it more difficult and it makes their reading not as good.
So, trance medium. I was curious about this because, and I probably don't have this correct. Does it mean that you are being embodied by another spirit or no?
Well, in my evidential, to me, I'll tell you the difference between evidential. First thing, our critical mind is there's no place in it for mediumship. It just gets in the way and you can't trust it. So during an evidential normal reading, I bring in the spirit guide, the spirit communicators. They put it in my head. I can see them, I can feel them, I can he hear them. And many times, I'll do their a trance message. I don't feel like they're inside me because I just go into another altered state like theta. I just like keep going down a little deeper. And the thing is that I know the difference is I know I'm alert for a reading. I can go back and forth and say, what is that question? I can go in and out. But in trance, once I'm out, until I'm come back, most of the time, I don't remember a thing that I say, so it is not me talking. It's not my consciousness talking. I'm just a vessel.
How did you, like, I'm trying to figure out how to ask this question, build that level of trust with spirit to do transmediumship? Because I feel like that requires so much trust.
Oh my gosh, that was the hardest part because I have very funny spirit guides. They pick me and I pick them or whatever because we work together well. And sometimes they have given me things that are just wacky, or I it's like I'll give you an example. I had this young woman and her grandmother I brought through. And all of a sudden, out of my mouth comes, if you want more money, you better do phone sex. And I said, "Oh my God, I didn't say that. I don't know how that came out of my mouth." Okay. And we're going to like corrupt this. And the young girl is laughing so hard. She goes, "That is an ongoing joke between me and my husband for years." And just last night, we were talking about it. He said, "You want another chair? That one's pretty good as it is. You go do some phone sex." And they laughed. So she was there. She was there. How else could I come up with that kind of, you can't make this stuff up. And this happens all the time. And trust was the final Mount Everest I had to go through because no matter what they tell me, I say it. And they make me do things with my hands, or I say, one girl said, "Well, you got the what you're describing is two different grandmothers, okay? They're both very the same." I said, "All right, I'm just gonna have to go into the tiebreaker kind of thing." And I'm going like this, and I'm going, "I don't know. I think I'm churning butter." And then the woman looked at me like, "Oh God, I'm not paying for this session. This is crazy." Anyway, and I said, "Look, I know I'm not plunging a toilet. I really do feel like I'm churning butter." So she goes, "Yeah, you are. I was just kidding." So I had to say it, and it sounded crazy. But you just learn if take what they give you. They are intelligent beings. They do not make mistakes. The mistake I would have made is not saying it. Okay? That would have screwed it up. And that was the final thing it took, like 5 years before, no matter what they say, okay, I'm just saying it. They could come in with weird little things in the middle of a trance that don't even have anything to connect, and I just say it. The hardest part, because I went to Arthur Findlay College for some residency programs, and one of the things was trance. And the teacher, after working with me a little, she goes, "You can't do trance. Okay. You cannot let go. The minute you start to go out, you wake yourself up." She said, "Don't even think about trance." Well, I proved her wrong with a fabulous teacher, Nico the medium. I couldn't in the beginning get over there to let them take over. But my guides, one day, they all got around me and like lifted me up over this big chasm, just like a, if I would have stepped down, I would have fallen down. And I let them pick me up and take me over. And from there on, I was good.
If people are wondering whether or not they're a medium, what do you think some of the signs are?
Being a medium, well, listen, some people are just born and they're in the crib and they're talking to, another kid who might have passed in that house or a grandmother. And that's them, okay? They from a very early age, they see spirit. But I think most people, because I've taken, years and years of training, they come to a mediumship class because somebody that they love died, passed up, and they want to be able to communicate. And that's one of the things that I do in each of my readings. I, at the end, do a little exercise with them to show them they can communicate with them, and a little thing they can do. And I say, "Call me when it happens." And then they'll realize, yes, I said, because your dad is putting that item in your head right now because he knows where and when you're going to see it this week. So, and I'll say, and when you see it, you'll know that was your dad's thing that he made you say that. And that you just had a back and forth with your dad. He told you, what was going to come, and you heard him. So, that's pretty exciting, doing that. I said, do it every week. You can feel connected to your loved ones every week. Have your kids get involved. Okay, Susie, it's your turn. What's the first thing in your head? So it's, and people want to. They can't, who can afford a medium every week? This, It's
That's
a
very
lot of
true.
work, you know, and I think everybody should have that opportunity. And the good thing is, everybody on this planet has the ability to do this, what I'm doing and what you do. Everybody has it. All you need is a soul. And if you work really hard and take classes, you'll be able to sense in one way or the other your loved ones. Now, it is harder to do for me and a lot of mediums to do our own loved ones because we know them so well. I always say, you know, to a client, don't tell me anything, okay? Just don't, I don't want to know anything. I don't want my head to get involved. And it's much easier. It's much easier when I say, okay, ask her a question. Don't tell me what it is. Here's a little parameter. And then I'll give them the answer most of the time. And it's so much easier not knowing it because then my head doesn't get involved trying to think, well, what, you know, what can do this and this? I don't want to know. I don't want to know. And then I let them ask questions out loud because it's too dramatic to do it my way.
Do you ever, so let's say you have a scheduled reading for the week. Do you dream about that person's loved one in advance? Does that happen often or?
Well, I have had, let's just say, some nighttime visitors for some different things, like a woman who in the reading was so negative and asking me crazy questions that I had to sort of shut it down. And I had her husband, you know, I know I had him, but it was just too difficult. And in the middle of the night, her husband came to me, and it's exactly as, and he told me to tell her half a toasted bagel that's scooped out. And I thought, you're waking me up at 3 o'clock to tell me this. I don't understand. Just said, just let her know. So I got in touch with her and told her, your husband came at 3 in the morning and he said half a toasted bagel that's scooped out. I said, does that mean anything to you? She goes, absolutely not. And this is why you're calling me. I said, just remember that I told you this, okay? So then she gets in touch with me in about a week. She goes, I went to visit my in-laws, and my father-in-law said, you know, I invented a product. You're not going to believe this. You know, I've got a little prototype. Let me show it to you and see if you know what it is. So she said he showed me some contraption, and I said, I have no idea what this is. And he said, it's a bagel scooper.
Oh
She said, we screamed and cried and laughed, and we understood. He
wow.
came to you to tell me so that I would know it's real, that it's real, and that I was there. I was there at the reading. I was there at my father's house, and knew exactly what he was working on, that we are around. We know all.
I think that's wonderful because so many people, like you said, they want the healing. They want to know their family is okay, but when they go to you, there's going to be some serious skepticism.
Right. And mediums don't really like to be tested. You know, we are here to help heal people, to you know, bring out the love from their loved one and tell them things that make them smile or laugh or just know that they're not alone and they have help.
Yes.
And you know, when they come out with what's the lotto number? I said, my husband tried that. It doesn't work. Okay. Or can you
Unfortunately.
know where my piece of jewelry is, my mother's diamond ring? I said, you have no idea how much lost jewelry I have, and I can't find it. So, but once in a while I do for them.
Yes. What? Okay. If our family's around us and they can help us, what else are they doing besides that? Have you ever had like a glimpse
Oh,
into?
yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it turns out that, a lot of times, okay, in a reading, I also do this question and answer thing. And on one of the questions, I say, ask a question that, you know, I don't want to know what it is. And I'll tell you what they show me. And what they show me is some funny things. I said, okay, this there's a it looks like your son is in a little he's in a little cartoon car, and like red, and he's beeping the horn. And I'm looking at him. He goes, "Wait, I'll be back." I see. He said, "I have to drop somebody off at the moon and do a pickup on Saturn." And I told the client that because I had no idea what that meant. And she's like crying. She goes, "Oh my God, he can drive again. He's whole again." Her son got epilepsy and he was an Uber driver. He had some other challenges. And he was an Uber driver down here until he got epilepsy and they took his license away. So he wanted her to know that he's driving again, okay? That he's whole. And those are the kind of things that he can do. They can do anything. I've got kids that are, I said, your son is skateboarding around the rings of Saturn. She goes, he was a championship skateboarder. So they know that they're doing that. Or your husband said he's got a much better swing on this side. And she'll go, oh, out of the blue deck. And she goes, oh, he was the worst at golf on this side. I am so glad he's having a good time and doing that. They're learning. Can you imagine having open to you everything you wanted to know about the universe and life, bringing a book out of the library and having it come alive for you on what happened in Atlantis, and to see, or what's going on, who are those blue people that keep coming by and ordering coffee for me? You know what I mean? So there's everything in the world that you're interested in that you can learn about and are curious. You wanted to be play tennis, but you never could hear. You had amputated legs. You just show me you're playing tennis there. They want us to know they are 100% fine. They unzip their human body and they are the best of themselves with absolutely nothing wrong with them, and only this very high vibration that is just a joy to live in.
Which is extremely reassuring to so many people because, when tragedy happens, you're so distraught and it's so hard to overcome that grief.
It is. It's very hard. But that's it. It can happen. Grief has to take its place. It's got to go at the rate. There's no one thing. If you're not over this in, 6 months, then you need some help. Everybody takes their own time, and you can only go with the flow of it. And it's like in waves. You can be okay for a while, and then you can't take it. I don't think I've talked to more than a half a percent of clients who, when someone's child passed, that they didn't want to go with them.
Yeah. That's so hard. And so speaking of children, so when they pass, similarly, is there that immediate knowing and remembrance of who they are, why they came, and why they left so early?
Yes, they chose to leave early because that was going to help their mother. That was going to teach her a lesson. And the humans say, what kind of God can take a 6-year-old boy? But the boy, he agreed, and it's fine. He's got another 50 lives to go. It's fine. They come down here. I said, who picks cancer? Because we pick our lives to not just learn, but to experience things we never experienced in our own lives. So somebody made, I said, why would anyone do that? And a mentor said, hey, they might just be tired of dying in a plane crash every time. I think they'd like to try something else because nobody dies in pain. They pluck our souls out before that, even though our bodies still may be here and look animated in some way. We don't suffer.
That
Nobody
certainly
suffers.
is a relief for a lot of people because even during grief, and depending on how that person passed, that part of the grief will stick with you.
And they'll wonder, was it painful, in the motorcycle crash and
Yes.
everything. And they don't pass in pain. They are
That's
not put through that.
very good to know. And I think that's Again, it's just, I imagine that when you have your clients and you're, sharing the information from whoever passed, it has to bring a huge sense of comfort and relief.
Definitely, definitely.
So let's talk very briefly about picking your families, picking this role, because people struggle hearing that. Like, why would I choose that? Why would I choose that family? Why would I choose?
Exactly.
It's a hard thing to swallow.
It is. And what I tell them so they can understand is when they transition over, there's a big whiteboard as they get over. And it says, passing of a child, what you learned, doing this, dying of cancer, what that taught you and what that taught your wife. And everything comes clear. But we can't know that before we take it on. We have to just go in there and do the work. Got to do the work
We
to expand our
do.
soul and heart. Yeah, we got to do the work.
It's hard work being
It's
here.
hard work. But as I said, people want to get it over faster. If they're tired of coming back so many times. When most people, even if they've just had a really tough life, they want to come right back because, oh my God, because to them, somebody showed me, explained it like this. Let's say you're at a poker game and a man says, okay, I got to go take a leak. So he leaves the game and he comes back, in like 3 minutes. He goes, oh, I just had the best life on Mars. He already had a whole new life. There is no time. So it's like, what are you going to do all the time? Let's try something else. I want to go to Acurion. I want to be on the council, whatever you want.
What is the strangest thing you maybe have encountered after interacting with, I'm going to say, the other side?
Well, I've had a lot of really pretty crazy and or one of the readings I got, which was it was interesting in several different ways. So this I said, ask your son a question and I'll tell you what he's showing me. And then I think to myself, oh my gosh, what is this? I said, your son is showing me himself squished into a glass jar. And his whole body is in there and it's got a cap on it. It's something you would see on the shelf of a mad scientist.
Right.
And I said, do you know what that means? She goes, no, I don't know. What I have no idea. I said, well, I want to figure this out. I said, what was the question? She said, well, my husband and I went to a concert and it was his favorite band, but he passed before we got to take him. So we took a glass jar of his remains to the venue to sprinkle around, and we just wanted to know if he knew that we took him there. I said, wait a minute. You don't get the connection of him in a jar with you taking an actual jar of him. And she goes, oh, now I get it. She goes, so he was there. He did know. Sometimes in a reading, there's a lot of information coming towards you, evidence and verifications and things can go over your head, but you got to be open because that was an incredible reading. And this guy was so creative. She goes, he really was creative. That was incredible. So you just got to be open to things. And there are some really one of I'll give you another one because I do work with helping parents heal. I'm certified with them. And having this reading that I got made me want to get involved. So I tell a woman, okay, ask your question to your son, because she had a 6-year-old son who passed. And I said, I'll tell you what I see. I said, but don't tell me. I see your son riding on the back of a giant butterfly in heaven, dive bombing, having the best time in his life. And she starts crying. I said, oh, I don't know, does that have anything to do with your question? She goes, you're not going to believe this. She said, after my son passed, I needed to explain to his younger daughter, no, his young, my younger daughter, about where her brother actually went and what he's doing. And she said, and I bought a book. And in the book was a spread that said he's riding on the back of a giant butterfly in heaven. And
Wow.
I mean, it was exactly what I said to her. And you can imagine how healing that was for her to know, number one, he's having a great time. Number two, he's with me. He's the one who put it in my head to ask that. What's he doing? And he was there helping me pick the book out and sitting there when I was doing the reading with his, when I was reading the book to his little sister. That is a game changer for somebody who wants to, who feels like they're never going to see them again. And I always say, they're not gone. They just went a little ahead of us. We're all going to meet up. Okay, we're all meeting up. He just went a little ahead of you. Because if they understand the backdrop that everything that happens is for a reason and not to somebody, but for somebody. It's universe isn't doing something to you, it's doing something for you. You just don't know it yet. And that you had a say in what the situation would be because you knew what it would help you with when you went back. If they understand that, then they have to logically understand, okay, so this is all pre-planned and it's all to help us. And I am going to see him again. And maybe in our next life, because we travel in like family soul pods kind of thing, maybe I'll be his sister next time and he can be my father. And you can change genres and everything and get experiences. And you learn from all of your experiences. And that's what we're here for.
Yes, we certainly are. Do you think, since you've been doing this type of work, have you seen mediumship becoming a little bit more mainstream?
Oh, yes. There's like a, it's going to be like the Starbucks. There's like a medium on every corner and they're good. You know, if this is what you're doing, and there's some people that are not on the up and up and are gonna say, oh, you got a little curse around you. I'm gonna need $1,000 to get rid of that. And we, that's why you should go to a really good teacher that's known and do it the right way. Yes. 2025 was when it started, like everyone starting to open up and be a little more accepting. And 2026 is like an explosion. That's why they woke me up, 5 years ago so I could get back the training. And it's only going to get more open and people are going to be aware and believe it. In 2027, they say, all the predictors, that there's going to be contact with the other beings, and they've been here for a long time, just waiting until we could accept it, and people are going to get blown away, I'll tell you. And it's going to make an impact on religion, because a lot of religions say, you are talking to the devil. Do not do that. Okay? And we are not the devil, okay?
And yes, I was going to ask you, why do you think now? Because it seems as if we're at this inflection point or moving towards it. And yes, it seems to me becoming more mainstream, but I'm like, well, why now in time is this occurring?
This is the, you know what? This is the time, and it's been creeping up where there's so, it's very popular to be psychic and be a medium, and centuries ago, if you talked like we did, we'd be burned at the stake,
Yes, very
That's it.
simply.
So nobody talked about it. My mother never told me about my grandmother. I was 100 and she was 103 and a half, and I had to tell her, Mom, I'm a medium now, and I've been talking to Dad. And I didn't know how to tell you because I thought it would push her right over the edge. And that's exactly where she actually wanted to go. But She goes, your grandmother used to drag me to tea leaf readers and card readers and psychics. And she used to have it herself. She had juju herself. So that's where I got it in my skipped a generation. I said, Mom, you're going to be 104. When were you going to tell me this? And she didn't answer.
For clients, then, do you get people who are super religious, who believe in the whole concept of like heaven and hell? And how do they grapple with what you're telling them? At least from what you can see.
People who come to a medium, they don't really come to prove you wrong. It's because they miss somebody so much that they're like insides are ripped apart because their teenage son died of a fentanyl overdose or something. And they're there because they want to believe. They want to believe that they can still, that they're still around and still growing and still watching them and with them and know that this woman is planting a tree for him and lighting candles. They want to know it. And when you can give them information that you can't get anywhere else, like what they did this morning and that the refrigerator kept opening up on its own and it kept dinging, and no matter how many times she closed it, it kept popping open and dinging. How could anybody know that? You know what I'm saying? So they realize, gosh, there's something to this, and it feels like love, not like the devil. They want to believe. That's what I feel. They want to believe. And listen, when the priests and they all when they all pass over, they're going to say, oh boy, did I make a mistake. This is wonderful.
Do you feel like in the next 20, 30 years, because I feel like time maybe it's pushed out, that religion will no longer have, I mean, granted, this has been going on for a very long period of time, but do you think that will slowly like be deconstructed very clearly?
Well,
Like people will start.
I'm not a philosopher. But I feel because there's only one, we are all connected in a certain way. That's why be nice to everybody because they're just like you and they're here to learn a lesson. And you got the long straw this time, but you could be digging ditches, in Peru right now as well. Okay. And it's 120 degrees. So be kind to everybody. You don't know what pain they're in. And that there is just one source. You can call it God, you can call it everywhere. But you get to keep Buddha and all of your people that Muhammad, they're all like masters. So they're all there. But it's gonna change. It's gonna change. There are not 72 virgins waiting for you if you bomb a building.
Oh my God, my dad used to say that there weren't going to be 72 virgins.
They're not there. Okay. I'm going to
Oh
tell you
my
now.
God.
So don't do it.
So funny. Barbara, thank you so much for being a guest. I thoroughly enjoyed this. If people want to connect, and I'm sure they will, how can they find you?
They can go on bannermedium.com, BANNER medium.com, and they can learn about me, read some testimonials, see some clips, little video clips of fun readings, and book. And I'd love to see them. And if they want some free information on all things spiritual, go to soulproof, soulproof.com. It's a whole like decades of compilation of spiritual articles and radio shows and free ebooks and some of the biggest sellers of all time from the writer who did them all. So there's a lot of information. The more you know, the more you'll believe. And podcasts, watch tons of podcasts because you can't make this stuff up. It's like Alice in Wonderland. It is.
It really is. Thank you so much, Barbara. And everybody, have a great week ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.